again, our service, I have two different readings that I want to share with you that we'll be using today. The first is a scripture reading. It comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. And I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the updated edition of that. Hear now these words. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. And we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. Now I'd like to read a quote from Lao Tzu, who says, if a person seems wicked, do not cast him away. Awaken him with your words. Elevate him with your deeds. Repay his injury with your kindness. Do not cast him away. Cast away his wickedness.
Thank you.
Message this morning is entitled More Than Just Forgiveness. So most Sunday afternoons, a group of us gather at Jake's Billiards on Spring Garden Street. I've been told that it all started when what used to be our early service ended for its first time. But having joined the group many times, I have to say, I suspect that it's more about the half-price beer. When I first arrived at the church here as your transitional minister, there was, shall we say, a bit of a divide. I've even described it to some other minister friends, saying it was like there were two churches that met here who tried to have one governing body. Things have changed a lot since then. Back then, early on, after our Sunday mornings in that first year, after our gatherings on Sunday morning, we would have a brief transitional ministry meeting here in the sanctuary to sort of flesh out how the church got to where it was with that divide and start working on it. Now, Monday after one of our Sunday transitional meetings, one of the regulars at Jake's at that gathering said that he thought a lot about how well the transitional meeting had gone and what had been said. In general, he seemed to be very pleased with everything, but he said that after some reflection, he had some regret that one thing had not been mentioned at the meeting yet. And he went on to say that he thought that this one thing was essential in moving forward together as a spiritual community. It would aid us in no longer being stuck in the past, and it would help remove some relationships that had been damaged in the past years, or help resolve some of those relationships. And after hearing his perspective, I have to say I agree with him. As a matter of fact, while we at the service are a beautiful blend of spiritual perspectives, the reality is that we are still a Christian church, a progressive Christian church, but a Christian church. And that the one thing he was talking about happens to be a cornerstone of the Christian tradition and practice. As a matter of fact, it is an important practice in many religions. Our Jewish friends have an entire holiday formed around it. Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, the Jewish holiday of atonement and forgiveness. And it's not actually just a holiday. Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year in Judaism. I'd actually like to share just a quick little parable from the Jewish tradition that points to a sort of best practices of how forgiveness works to heal a relationship. According to a civic parable, a king had a quarrel with his son. And in a fit of rage, he exiles his son from the kingdom. And after a number of years, the king's heart softens. And he sends his ministers to find his son and to ask him to come home. But the young man resists the invitation. He feels too bitter and hurt to return. When the ministers present that sad news to the king sends them out again with a new message for his son. He says, "Return as far as you can, and I will come the rest of the way to meet you." The king in this story did not have the false notion that sending back a word of apology could itself heal the broken connection, nor did he send his ministers out again with a request for forgiveness. The king performed this apology and remorse by letting the son know that he, the king, was prepared to travel as far and as long as he needed in order to repair the relationship. particularly in my first few years here, our reality was that forgiveness would help with many of the issues that we were dealing with. Truthfully, even to a smaller degree now, that's still true, but the truth is that forgiveness also has some pretty remarkable benefits beyond all of that. When you forgive someone, you make the choice to give up your desire for revenge and feelings of resentment. You also stop judging the person who caused you the hurt, or you at least try to. Instead of the revenge and judgment that resentment can bring, you then are more likely to show generosity and compassion and kindness. Now, keep in mind, when forgiveness, you don't forget that the offense occurred, nor do you excuse it. And you may very well define the access that person has to you based on their previous behavior. It just means that as much as possible, you substitute your negative with positive feelings, thoughts, and behavior, and don't allow the resentment to eat you up from the inside out. Recent research on the health benefits of forgiveness actually shows that people can make this sort of mental shift. Those people who do that may benefit in ways that they didn't anticipate, namely, believe it or not, by living longer. In a study aptly called Forgive to Live, psychologists investigated the relationship among forgiveness, religiousness, spirituality, health, and morality in the U.S. And after, setting up controls for religiosity and social class and health-related behaviors like drinking and smoking, the one quality of forgiveness that predicted morality was conditional forgiveness of others. Conditional forgiveness. People high on the scale of conditional forgiveness, meaning that they would only forgive a person under certain conditions, under certain terms, those folks lived a shorter life than those who scored low on this measure. It's hard not to wonder why, when an inability to forgive others without first receiving an apology or a promise to change, why that would predict an earlier death. So when the authors of the study looked into the question, they suggested that people who make demands for forgiveness continue to harbor resentment and grudges, which are emotions that can impair their heart's health. Constantly nursing negative feelings keeps your stress levels high. And it is that stress that typically results in an earlier death. And there's also this other problem with conditional forgiveness. It requires some sort of response from the person who wronged you. So, if that person is no longer alive or is no longer in contact with you, it will be impossible for you to both communicate and receive what is needed for forgiveness. To me, this seems to suggest that there's a healthier approach to forgiveness, and obviously that is to forgive without the condition of an apology. So anyway, that's just one recent study. Other research has shown that forgiveness is positively associated with better health of heart, hormones, and your immune system. That there's also psychological benefits to forgiveness. People who forgive more readily are less likely to be depressed or anxious and more likely to be happy. The reality is, these physical and psychological health benefits of forgiveness can all be a key for predicting a longer and healthier life. So, it would seem that if you want to benefit from the life-extending benefits of forgiveness, as well as all the other benefits that you get from it, you really need to figure out how to do it without requiring something on the part of the person whom you are forgiven. The question is how. Just back up just a little bit to answer that question. If you're truly going to get over being wronged, at least in terms of how you see it, and if you ever hope to truly reap the health benefits, you really do need to figure out how to forgive someone. Here's the thing, though. After quite a bit of thought and research on this topic, I think you have to go further than just forgiving them. You see, when you step back and you really analyze it, while it is a necessary thing to do, forgiving is actually a bit of a condescending thing to do. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but stick with me for just a few minutes on this. In order to forgive someone, you obviously have to feel like that someone has wronged you. And that's problematic in two ways. One, you are actually assuming you have a bit of moral superiority over the other person. And two, you assume that if you had been them, that you would have behaved in a very different way. The thing is, it is very seldom that someone who wrongs us is someone who we are intimately familiar with their history, with their life story. And even then, it's impossible to have actually experienced that history in the way that they have experienced it and in the way that it has shaped them. It's even more difficult to understand how that experience impacted their personal perspectives, their outlooks, their behavior. I think it would be helpful to consider that the hurts and wrongs that have been done to us might not have been done deliberately, but instead they're probably derived from the other person's hurts and personal issues. I can't help but believe that that understanding could liberate us from the negative feelings that may be keeping us stuck in the past and unable to forgive without conditions. That points me to the title of the talk, More Than Just Forgiveness. As I've mentioned, for me, forgiveness is a practice that implies, at least in a very small amount, implies a little bit of moral superiority. I'm not saying that we are being intentionally those things. Rather, I'm saying that we rarely take into consideration that if we had experienced life in the way that the other person had, that we might have handled the moment in question in a similar way, possibly. I can't help but think that the trick is to access the more benevolent, gracious, humane side of our beings and become truly compassionate about the suffering of those who cause us to suffer. And that is the thing that is more than just forgiveness. Compassion. As a matter of fact, I would make the argument that with true compassion, forgiveness is immensely easier to do with true compassion. It begins with humility. It begins with letting go of our negative feelings towards the person. The idea being that developing compassion for those who hurt you may help you move beyond the negative feelings and reactions that their actions generated in you. And as a bonus, intentionally expanding compassion to a person who has wronged you can lead to a new lessons in life, which will aid you in becoming an even more compassionate person. I make the argument that it is compassion as much as or even more than forgiveness that makes it possible for us to most successfully let go of the personal wrongs that we've experienced. We need to learn to feel compassion unconditionally by planting the seed and letting it grow. It won't be complete and whole until we learn the experience, until we learn to experience compassion for all people, regardless of whether they have the same skin color, beliefs, nationality, race, sexual attraction, education, socioeconomic status, or anything else. We need to learn that we are more united than we think, and that compassion brings about more cooperation and balance rather than the resentment and slight feelings of superiority that can come along with forgiveness. A healthy spiritual community is not a divided community, but a united one where people have compassion towards each other. And again, keep in mind, unconditional compassion does not mean forgetting the negative thing that was done. It means we understand the root of the problem, which should lessen the feelings of hurt and rejection. Because, in part, we begin to realize it is less personal than we might have originally thought. But even better news is that the personal outcomes of unconditional compassion, the personal outcomes of it look a great deal like the personal outcomes of unconditional forgiveness. And the cause of that should result in the same physical and psychological benefits for us. I'm just going to conclude with a quote from the book, Life, the Truth, and Being Free by Steve Maraboli. In it, he says this, "It is only with true love and compassion that we can begin to mend what is broken in the world. It is only with true love and compassion that we can begin to mend what is wrong in the world, what is broken in the world. It is with these two blessed things that we can begin to heal all the broken hearts."
Money in my pocket and shoes on my feet.
Enter into a more inward turn moment in our time here together, a time for a prayer or a meditation, a time to accept the words that I'm speaking, grab hold of the ones that mean the most to you, or just pray along with these words. Let's bow our heads together. Most of us have known some difficulties in this life. Many of us have found ourselves and in unbearable circumstances. A few among us have felt the inner pain of being shunned. And yet most of us have managed to not help a person in need, even when we knew they needed it, even when we knew we could. Many of us have fallen short of lifting up someone who was feeling down, when it would have only meant slowing our own life down in order to value theirs. A few of us have been the ones who have push others to the outsides of our groups and society when a simple "come join us" could have changed a life. These things don't make us bad people. They simply make us human. We know the world is a better place when we practice taking better care of one another, particularly those who are already hurting. And we want to be those loving people, people who spread joy and love rather than judgment and division. May we continue to learn to be better practitioners of love. May we encourage each other to risk practicing a reckless love. And may we each inspire each other to seek out those who are alone and marginalized. May we grow to be fuller reflections of the love that is planted within us. Amen. Receive this charge. May you walk with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and your actions bring that love and happiness to all that you know.